Today's episode includes interviews originally recorded between May 5th and May 11th. While we did our best to provide accurate information, some numbers provided in this episode may be out of date. If you have any questions about accurate, timely case counts, vaccination distribution, or anything else we've covered in today's episode, please visit ykhc.org, covid19.alaska.gov, or email elle@kyuk.org. Thanks for tuning in to Wellness Wednesday. I'm Wellness Programming Producer Alyssa Lachlan. In the YK Delta, individuals 16 and older have been eligible to receive a COVID vaccine since January 19th. As of May 11th, at least 12,703 YK Delta residents have been vaccinated. However, communities' vaccination rates vary greatly, with some villages nearing 100% vaccination rates in eligible populations, while others record rates as low as 40%. Many health experts agree that the only certain path to getting rid of COVID is to vaccinate as close to 100% of the population as possible. Today, we'll be airing part one of a two-part COVID vaccination special. This week, I'll speak to health experts about the creation, distribution, and importance of COVID vaccines here in the YK Delta and in the United States. Joining me today is microbiologist and biology professor, Dr. Brian DeHaven.
Hi, yes, I am Brian DeHaven. I have a PhD in microbiology from the University of Pennsylvania. I've been studying viruses and the immune system for a long time, and now I teach those courses at LaSalle University.
Thanks, Dr. DeHaven. So a lot of people probably have gotten mRNA vaccines or are eligible to receive mRNA vaccines, which are the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines that are out right now. Can you explain for us how those vaccines work?
Sure. So the concept of using mRNA or even DNA vaccines is actually something that goes back several decades. And this is the first time that we're actually using them on a large scale. So there's a lot of different ways to make a vaccine, but the general principle is the same. You want to separate out a substance that's going to give your body immunity and remember that from the other parts of the pathogen that actually make you sick. And so this can be done by killing the organism, if it's a bacteria, or with something like the flu shot, taking out a piece of the virus and only injecting that into a person. Now, with these mRNA vaccines, what's new-ish and exciting is that you're actually giving your body the instructions for how to make this one virus protein by itself, and then your body will make that, realize it has made something that it doesn't usually make, recognize it as foreign, and start to make an immune response against this. So people have been working on these for many, many years and hoping that they would work. There's a lot of advantages, as we've seen. You know, we went from not knowing what was causing this outbreak when it was a local outbreak to testing a vaccine literally a few weeks later to within a year having a working vaccine that has gone through phase 1, 2, and 3 trials is now authorized for emergency use. And as of yesterday, down to 12-year-olds. So it's a really exciting time.
Thanks. So you mentioned kind of the speed with which this vaccine was developed. So would you mind just explaining, like, a lot of people are very nervous that this is an experimental vaccine. Can you say anything to kind of counter that fear?
Sure. Yeah. So there has been a rapid timeline. Part of that is because all these resources and effort have been put into testing these so that the the downtime, and some things have been sped up, not in a way that sacrifices safety, but just to try to get this done as quickly as possible. And the amount of testing that they have gone through is actually not any less than any other vaccines. It's just, you know, because of the fact that we're in the middle of this pandemic, certain barriers were lowered to get this out into people as quickly as it safely could be done. And there was actually a really nice story in the New York Times about how these vaccines are made. It takes about a month to go from, you know, starting the process to having something that's ready to be put into a syringe. And half of that time is given over to safety testing. So this is not something that has been rushed. By the time it gets to a pharmacist or a doctor, it has gone through many, many, many rounds of testing to make sure exactly what we think is in that vial is what is actually in that vial.
Great, thank you. So can you explain kind of how vaccine trials work and how it happened so quickly?
Yes, so for vaccine trials, or really any drug, usually what happens is you start with what's known as preclinical trials. So this can be cells in a dish and then experimented on animals humanely. And then at that point, you can start a phase one trial, which is a small-ish group of people, sometimes, you know, a few dozen. And you're really just looking for safety profiles. You know, is this going to be okay if we scale it up into more people? And for something like a vaccine, you can look for the immune response. You know, is this generating antibodies in the people that have it? Is it generating any T cell responses? But you're not directly looking at how effective it is then. When you go into the next steps, phase two and three, that's when you scale up, you test more people, and you actually look for, is this vaccine effective at preventing disease? So what you will do is you will, at that point, blind the trial, which means the healthcare workers and the people getting the shots don't know if they're actually getting it or if they're getting something called a placebo, which is usually just, you know, an injection of salt water or something like that. And then you track those two groups, you know, and is there a difference in the rate of infection with people that got the placebo or people that got the actual shot? And what we've seen with a number of these vaccines, but especially the mRNA vaccines, is they are very, very, very effective, especially when you get both doses and you get 2 weeks out from your second dose. You know, the initial numbers that came in were 90 to 95%. Some numbers since then have shown even higher. And so these might actually be, when it's all said and done, some of the most vaccines that have ever been developed in human history.
Well, there's a lot of excitement around the effectiveness of these vaccines and what they could mean for the end of the COVID pandemic. Individuals still need to make personal decisions that will affect the public and their community's ability to reach herd immunity. Here's Dr. DeHaven to explain what herd immunity is.
So herd immunity is a concept in immunology and epidemiology, and it's a level of immunity in a population where even people that are susceptible are protected because of who is around them. And so for something like this coronavirus, if almost everyone in a village was vaccinated, even the people that weren't vaccinated would be protected because there wouldn't be anyone from them for them to get the virus from. And if someone came in or one susceptible person was infected, they wouldn't be able to spread the virus to anyone else. And this is not usually achievable just by the natural course of infection, you know, moving through a population. It's a pretty high number. It varies by what the specific disease is, but it's usually at least 70% up to about 90%. And when you hit that number, you can really stop the disease from spreading. And this is extra important because for any vaccine, there are going to be some people that aren't able to get it. They are too young. They have a weakened immune system from cancer treatment, something else that's gone wrong with them. They're allergic to what's in the vaccine. And so you can't protect them directly with a shot, but if everyone around them is immune, they will be protected even so. And so when you're developing and rolling out a vaccine, the goal is always to get to herd immunity, because then you also protect people that didn't even get the shot.
So you've said you need anywhere from like 70%+. Do you think that this is possible in the US with the current trend of vaccinations?
Yeah, that's a very interesting and important question. And the answer is maybe. So from a logistics perspective, from a supply perspective, we can get there. And so we don't know exactly what the numbers are to achieve herd immunity for this yet. A lot of people are saying, based on, you know, how well it spreads, probably around 80% of the population should be immunized and or naturally immune from having been infected and recovered at some point during the pandemic. Now, with the rates of vaccination that we're seeing in the trends right now, if nothing else changes, it does look like we're at a risk of falling a few percentage points short of reaching herd immunity. And if that happens, you might expect to see small outbreaks, you know, indefinitely down the line. And so that's why it's important to, if you haven't already, get vaccinated. If you know people that are on the fence and unsure, you know, gently sort of ask them, you know, why are you worried? Can you share some information? And try to get some of these people vaccinated to get us to that herd immunity threshold.
And what are some other diseases that have been eradicated because of herd immunity? And then what are the consequences of people not getting vaccinated and these diseases kind of returning?
Okay, so the most famous example is smallpox, which was the biggest killer of infectious diseases probably throughout human history. I've seen estimates that 500 million people died from it just in the 20th century. And because of a worldwide, decades-long campaign to get everyone vaccinated, that disease has been completely eradicated from human populations. It exists in two freezers in the world right now, and no one has gotten a case of smallpox in going on 40 plus years. So it has been completely wiped out from the face of the earth. There's another disease, polio, which you've probably heard of, which we are very, very close to eradicating. It has been functionally eradicated from the Western Hemisphere, and there are just a few small outbreaks in a couple of countries in Asia, and occasionally a few cases in a few parts of Africa. And so in the next few years, if things go well, that disease might also be eradicated, you know, through, again, vaccination efforts, getting to herd immunity in places where there is some disease. You can break the chain of transmission and stamp out this virus, just like a series of small forest fires. And so those are these success stories. The problem is when herd immunity dips down, you can have a reoccurrence of some of these diseases. So famously in America, you know, everyone's supposed to get vaccinated for measles when they're a kid. More and more people have been opting out of that or opting out of that for their own children. And we've seen some outbreaks, most infamously at Disneyland, of all places, in 2015. And so that is something that you see when the percent of the population that's vaccinated goes below that herd immunity line. So we've seen the good things that can happen, but we've also seen backsliding when people stop taking the threat of these diseases seriously.
Thanks to Dr. DeHaven for joining us. If you have any questions you'd like answered in next week's episode, please email me at l@kyuk.org. That's ELLE@kyuk.org. You can also call me at 907-543-0240 to have your questions answered for the next episode by Dr. DeHaven. Last week, I sat down to speak with Dr. Ellen Hodges, the Chief of Staff at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. We caught up to discuss vaccination and case rates in the YK Delta.
My name is Dr. Ellen Hodges. I am the Chief of Staff at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, and I've been here for almost 18 years.
As of May 11th, 5,277 cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in the YK Delta. 25 individuals have passed away due to COVID-19 related illness. 5,237 people have recovered, and 15 cases are active. In the past 7 days, 11 new cases were reported. Here's Dr. Hodges on how those current case trends compare to cases in the state and to past Delta case counts.
And how do these numbers compare to Alaska state numbers and the numbers that we've had of COVID and active cases in the past few months?
Certainly. So the good news is for the longest time, we were the number one area of the state by far. We had the most number of cases. We're now number three or number four in the state. We're sort of tied with the interior. And the number one areas of the state, Fairbanks and Mat-Su, are currently experiencing some pretty big outbreaks. So, and then overall in the Delta, our cases have dramatically decreased. So at the height of the pandemic, which for us here in the Delta was in November and December, we were having case rates per week as high as 650 cases per week. Then the last week, we've had 11 new cases. So our cases have come down so much in the past few weeks.
That's really exciting. It sounds like we're finally able to kind of stop the spread in certain ways. Do you think that vaccinations have led to this decline in the number of cases we've been seeing here?
Yes, I certainly think that has played a large role in the number of cases declined, the number of cases that have declined. If you look at where about our case rates started to precipitously decline, it was right in about that first and second week of February when we were starting to get a bigger portion of our population fully vaccinated. So there's a lot of things that probably led to the decline. We always follow national and state trends. So nationally, as well as in the state, cases were starting to decline. But also during that time period, we were able to ramp up our vaccinations. And so for that to be such a huge drop off in cases right about the time that we were starting to get a lot of people vaccinated, I think vaccinations played a really large role in that.
Definitely. It really seems like there's a huge correlation there. How have vaccination efforts been going in the YK Delta so far? And do you think there's any room for them to be improved?
So I think the vaccination efforts here in the Delta have gone really well. For our total population that is eligible to be vaccinated, so right now that's the ages 16 and older, we've vaccinated 65.7% that has had at least one dose. In Bethel, the city of Bethel, that's 72.2%. So anyone who's over the age of 16 and older. And so I think that those are really great numbers. I'm sort of greedy. I would like that to be at 100% if possible. That I think is the safest way to protect everyone in our community and sort of get our lives back. I think everyone is ready to return to normal and start socializing and have some of those things that we all miss so much, the connections with our friends and neighbors. And the way to get there is through vaccination. So I think the room for improvement is to try to get us as close to 100% as we possibly can. We also track our vaccination rates by village in our region, and some of our villages have gotten really close to 100% of the eligible population. So I know that it's possible. And so I just strongly encourage anyone who's listening to this to, if you aren't already vaccinated, to strongly consider getting vaccinated as a method of protecting our entire community and getting us all back to the normal we all crave so much.
Thanks, Dr. Hodges. And you talked about how you are encouraging everyone to get vaccinated. So what are some of the reasons you think that it's important that everyone is getting vaccinated? And what kind of benefits come with being vaccinated against COVID-19?
Certainly. The most important benefit of being vaccinated is protection from this deadly disease. Approximately 2/3 of adults who are infected with COVID experience long-term symptoms. And 1/3 of those have serious long-term symptoms. It also has an excellent report was just released and published in a peer-reviewed journal showing that anybody who has had COVID also has an increased rate of death in the 6 months following infection from all causes. So the most important thing, it protects you from a terrible, deadly disease. That is the most important benefit. And I think the other benefits that we get are some of the societal benefits. You don't have to quarantine after you've been exposed to someone with COVID. You don't have to have routine testing, surveillance. We call that surveillance testing. So if you have a reason to be tested on a regular basis, you don't need to do that anymore. We don't test fully vaccinated people who aren't symptomatic anymore. And then the CDC released guidance about safer activities. And so there's certainly more activities that people who've been fully vaccinated can feel much more comfortable participating in, notably attending small outdoor gatherings with a mixture of vaccinated and unvaccinated people without wearing a mask. Dining at outdoor restaurants with friends from multiple households without wearing a mask. The guidance from the CDC says that if you haven't been vaccinated in those circumstances, you definitely need to continue to wear a mask. And I think the more and more people we get vaccinated and less disease we see, the more activities we will all be able to safely engage in without having a mask on. That's just a few of the benefits. And I think, again, I can't emphasize enough, it protects you from a disease that has wreaked devastation in this country. I think people focus a lot on the mortality and the number of people who have died, and every loss of life is a tragedy. But among the survivors, there's also significant suffering that people need to think about. So people can have chest pain, they can have fatigue or feeling too tired, and all these sort of long-term consequences. It's sometimes called long-haul COVID or long COVID or chronic COVID. And all of those things can be easily avoided if you've been vaccinated and don't catch COVID in the first place.
Yeah, I know that after I found out about what long COVID was, I was even more afraid of getting COVID than I had been earlier. And you talked a little bit about like what individual benefits can come with being vaccinated, but how can getting vaccinated help our community? How can this be part of like the bigger picture of getting Bethel and the rest of the world back open?
Yeah, I think the biggest benefit is, I think, resuming society as we all want to. So one thing is our schools. All of us want to get our kids back into school and keep them in school. There's excellent evidence to suggest that our kids are suffering for not being in school. And the best way to protect our kids who can't currently be vaccinated unless they're 16 or older is to vaccinate every single adult in the community. That provides a cocoon of protection around our kids. So that allows them to be safe and go to school safer. They still might catch COVID, but it can't be passed around, and outbreaks can be much more easily contained. I like to think of it as muskox protecting their young, where you've all probably seen the pictures of the adult muskox forming a circle facing outward to protect the young who are in the center. And I think of vaccination as that circle of adult muskox. So it's really incumbent upon all of us who are adults in this community or the above the age of 16 to go ahead and get vaccinated. That will allow this protection and allow our kids to safely resume school. So that's one of the biggest arguments for this, is to just keeping our kids, even if you don't have children. I don't have kids, but me getting vaccinated means that there's one less person in the Delta who's likely to catch COVID. And that way there won't be a reservoir of people who are infected and able to pass it back and forth to each other. So we can really protect our kids and get them into school. The other thing is some of these community gatherings that all of us have so desperately missed, that, you know, the river is getting close to breakup. And boy, it would be nice to have a breakup bash where everyone can sit around and enjoy the onset of summer in our region. But it's a little bit too risky right now without having 100% of our eligible population vaccinated, especially if we have hot dogs and people have to take their mask down to eat hot dogs. So I think that's another thing. I think all of us crave that kind of sense of community that comes with being together as a community. And once we get more and more people vaccinated, those types of activities and events will definitely be possible. And I think also it's just the sense of safety that this kind of vaccination rates will allow us to have. All of us have felt, and I think you mentioned the stress of catching COVID or being worried about it. It's been an incredibly stressful over a year. And one of the ways to help reduce that stress and help everyone feel comfortable is to just increase that vaccination rate so that we can feel comfortable when we're interacting with people in our community, that there's a large degree of safety surrounding that interaction. So I think that helps everyone feel a little bit better, and it will help us get back to this normal that all of us really want.
I really agree. I'm excited for Bethel events to happen because I got here in the middle of COVID. So I'd love to see what this community is really like. And I've loved getting to see just things slowly open up, like the pool. That's been really great. And since so many people have been vaccinated, they're now moved on to phase two. So young people can come in and swim with their parents, which I think is really cool. If people are still wary about getting their vaccine, what kind of resources are there available for them to learn more about the COVID vaccine?
Absolutely. That's a really great question. And I think it's important for everyone to understand that it's okay to have questions and concerns about the vaccine. And I encourage everyone who has questions and concerns to get information about the vaccine so they can feel comfortable in their own body and in their own mind about making the decision to get vaccinated. You can always check with your healthcare provider at YKHC or wherever you seek your medical care. But there's also an importance to get your information from reliable and trusted sources. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has some really good information about vaccine. The state of Alaska has a website as well that is dedicated to questions about vaccinations. And then YKHC.org also has some resources for people who are interested in vaccination. And I think that's important. There has been a proliferation of vaccine misinformation on the internet. And I think it's just important that all of us understand that it's important to get your information from really reliable sources. I think some people will see something on Facebook or they'll see something on a social media site and they'll think it might be true because it happens to be on the internet. But I think all of us know that that's not necessarily the case. So just making sure that you get your information from a reliable and trusted source. And then if you have any other questions, just to follow up with your healthcare provider, and ask questions. We're always happy to talk to anyone who wants to talk to us about vaccination, the safety of it, how the vaccines were developed, how the vaccines were tested, and the kind of efficacy of them, especially now that we have variants circulating in the world and the region or in the state and in the nation. We haven't yet had any variants of concern circulating in our region, but I think it's a matter of time until they get here, which means that if people were previously infected with COVID, they might not be protected against reinfection from one of these variants. And we have seen that in our region. Reinfections, not necessarily with variants, but people do catch COVID again. So getting vaccinated is a very good protection against this. Especially the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine have had excellent efficacy against all of these variants of concern. So it's important to also to keep that in the back of your mind. I think some people might think, well, I had COVID, so I might be protected. And that's true if you catch that exact same, or you are exposed to that exact same strain of COVID. But if you happen to get exposed to one of these other variants that has a mutation on it, you could be vulnerable to getting reinfected. And so that's one of the reasons to get vaccinated, is those vaccines really help protect against that. So I think that's also another really important reason to get vaccinated.
Great. Thanks, Dr. Hodges. And who is currently eligible to be vaccinated, and how can listeners sign up to receive a vaccination?
Certainly. So there's several ways to sign up for a vaccination. Anyone aged 16 and older is currently eligible. We're very hopeful that ages 12 to 15 will be made available next week. We've heard some reports that perhaps we can start vaccinating that younger group of teenagers next week, but currently it's 16 and older. So if you are have access to the internet, you can go to our website and we have a form that you can download and fill out. It's very simple to fill out. And we review those every day and call people to schedule them. If you have a child between the ages of 12 and 15 and you are potentially interested in getting that child vaccinated, Go ahead and complete that form to kind of pre-register your kid. And then as soon as we get authorization from the FDA and the CDC, we'll start scheduling that age group. So if you have a 12 to 15 year old and you want them to get vaccinated, go ahead and fill that form out and we will put you on the list to call and start scheduling as soon as the vaccine is authorized for that age group. So you can fill that form out. If you don't have access to the internet, you can always call in Bethel. 543-6949 is our hotline. That's open that sort of 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And if nobody answers, go ahead and leave a message and then we can get you scheduled through that. And if people are listening and they're in their villages and they would like to get vaccinated, they can also fill that form out because we track it by different villages, or they can call the village clinic and the village health aide or office assistant can put you on a list. And the next time we ship vaccines out, we'll ship out enough vaccine to vaccinate everyone who is on the list.
In your opinion, what do you think the COVID vaccine means for the YK Delta moving forward?
So to me, I think it means a return to the life that we all miss and love. So a better feeling of safety from infection from this disease, the ability to interact with our community on a and feel more comfortable about that. And eventually, ability to interact with our community without the use of masks. I think if we can stamp out this vaccine or stamp out this disease by increased vaccination rates, we're not going to have to wear masks everywhere. There might still be certain situations where masks might be required. But I think in the future, especially as more and more portions of the population become eligible for vaccination and get vaccinated, I really think that that's going to be a little bit more freedom and more comfort in being able to move. I also think travel, many of us who live out here enjoy traveling, traveling to different villages to visit relatives, traveling to Anchorage to conduct business, or traveling out of state for leisure or for work. And people can feel much more comfortable doing that, knowing that they've been vaccinated and are protected. The planes are kind of like a, sort of a confined area where the risk of transmission can be high. So I think that everyone can have a certain sense of security about that. And so I think that those are all really good things. And then I think lastly, to me, getting our kids back in school is really important to me. I know that the mental health of our kids has been suffering over this last year as we battled this global pandemic. And so to me, having kids in school safely is a huge win. And so if we can get as many adults vaccinated as possible, we can get the kids back into school. And then as kids become eligible for vaccination, hopefully soon, like I said, the 12 to 15 year olds, and then Pfizer just sent out a press release that they're working on that 5 to 11 year age group that might be available by September. And then hopefully by next year, the 2 to 4 age group. So we're slowly adding more and more age groups that could potentially be vaccinated and just kind of keep those school kids safe. Because I worry about kids in school who can't be vaccinated, who don't have a way to keep them safe. But if we can get as many people as possible vaccinated as soon as they're eligible, that just increases the safety that our kids will have in school.
Thanks so much, Dr. Hodges. I think that everything you've said has been really helpful, and I'm very optimistic that our community can kind of band together and get the kids back to school and kind of almost be back to where we really wanted to be before COVID. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Certainly. For those of you who've been listening and are already vaccinated, thank you. Thank you for doing your part to protect yourself and our community. Talk to your friends and family about why you chose to get vaccinated. And if they're not vaccinated, let them know how they can get vaccinated if they're interested in doing it. Visit www.ykhc.org to sign up for your vaccine. There's a link right there on that homepage that you can go ahead and get signed up. And I think I am optimistic as well. I think we've definitely gotten on the back end of this curve, and I am very optimistic about the future, especially as we continue to add to the number of people who've been vaccinated.
On Monday, May 10th, the FDA approved the Pfizer vaccine for use in 12 to 15-year-olds. Pending CDC approval, this age group may be able to receive their first dose of the vaccine as early as Thursday, May 13th. If you want to register to receive your COVID vaccine, visit ykhc.org/COVID-19. Or, as always, resources will be listed in the show notes for this episode at kyuk.org under the Wellness Wednesday tab. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Wellness Wednesday. Tune in next week for a discussion with elders and community members on their experiences with COVID-19 and receiving their COVID vaccines. We'll also answer any listener questions that you may have had after listening to this episode. Please email any questions to me at elle@kyuk.org. Thanks for joining us for Wellness Wednesday. I'm Alyssa Lachlan, and I'll see you next week.